This is The Unspoken Standard, a podcast created by Sisters in Strength Youth Organizers. Production by Girls for Gender Equity. Episode 1, Consent is not an option, it's an obligation.
Hey Mozzie, did you know that data from the United Nations Spotlight Initiative shows that every 1 degree Celsius rise in global temperature is associated with a 4.7% increase in intimate partner violence?
Yes, and this is not a causation relationship, but a correlation relationship. This is an example of an environmental issue, and environmental issues and economic issues result in less resources and more economic stress. This can trap people searching for help within an intimate partnership and leads to more intimate partnership violence.
Hey, my loves, it's Gigi. I'm 18 years old and I'm a high school senior.
Hello, it's Oliver. I'm 17 and I'm a high school senior.
Hey, y'all, it's Mozzie. I'm 15 and I'm a sophomore in high school.
Hey, sugar, it's Jama with a J. I'm 17 and a senior in high school.
Hey people, it's Raya. I'm 17 years old and I'm a senior in high school and we are GGE /SIS participant.
Disclaimer. We will explore topics of consent and mentions of gender-based violence, intimate partner violence, and domestic violence. Please take what you need and check in with yourself while you listen.
Girls for Gender Equity defines intersectionality. That identities such as race, gender, class, sexuality, and ability work together to cause others to have an advantage and privilege over them. So this connects to our hook because a lot of women have a gender pay gap when compared to men, especially white men. This causes people in situations where they need to get out, like when climate gets hotter, they're more in danger, and since they have that pay gap, they're not financially able to escape from that or even access the resources that they should have access to. Gender-based violence, aka GBV, a broad spectrum of violence that is in part or in whole related to someone's gender identity, gender expression, sexual orientation, race, ethnicity, ability, class, or immigration status.
Hey, it's Jama. My definition of consent is boundaries, comfortability, access to yourself. Consent is also supposed to be enthusiastic. Here at GGE, we like to go by our four values: serve, take, accept, and allow. These four values are supposed to be very actionable. And fun fact, hesitation is a nonverbal communication of saying no. I will be passing the mic to Mozzie to further elaborate onto our four values.
Yes, so our four values: allow is different from accept because it's the confirmation that you really accept the relationship. It's saying yes, basically, permission. And serve is the prompt, which is giving consent to others, like can I or will you. Serve is to benefit others, take is to benefit yourself, allow is confirmation, accept is permission.
An easy way to remember consent is with the FRIES acronym. F means freely given, R means reversible, I means informed, E means enthusiastic, S means specific.
Raya, how does communication tie into consent in healthy relationships?
Without clearly expressing what you want and how you feel, it will cause obstacles between you and the other person. Whether it's a romantic or platonic relationship, that boundary has to be set to avoid further confusion. I'll be passing the mic to Mozzie. How is boundary setting a healthy relationship skill?
Boundary setting is a healthy relationship skill because it allows consent within a relationship and allows expression for one's individual self. It's not only shown in romantic relationships, but also platonic and familial relationships. Oliver, how do you identify an abusive relationship and supports with also options?
Well, a lot of people just correlate abusive relationships as just physical, but it can come in many ways, like financial, emotional, and psychological abusiveness. And even many relationships occur because of the lack of consent, or even consent not being respected. And a lot of options, a lot of resources that are available are SIS, which stands for Sisters in Strength, Safe Horizon, Planned Parenthood, and even hospitals have resources to help those in need. And you should always have someone to talk about these situations to. And I'm going to pass the mic to Jema.
Hi, it's Jema. I'm here to further elaborate on what abusive relationships could look like. Well, nowadays, our generation uses the term toxic relationships to refer to unhealthy relationships or abusive relationships, and it is most commonly seen in relationships with the love bombing. I know everybody loves to say I love you, but most people don't always understand what the terms I love you mean. Love bombing could also lead to an unhealthy relationship or an abusive relationship with mental abuse and emotional abuse. Financial abuse could be when, example, you and your significant other, might I say, is going through problems or whatever, and y'all have maybe like a joint bank account, and then they try to use your money against you, or like when you have a car or a house, they're keeping you from the things that you own, and they're trying to put it in your head that just because they love you and you're with them, that you should just accept the things that you're doing to them or that they're doing to you, which is not always acceptable. And you should talk to others about that. Another form of abuse is keeping your friends away from you or trying to turn you away from your friends, because sometimes, you know, your significant other could see that your friends is not the best for you, but they could also be trying to use your friendships against you. Like, example, when I was in a previous relationship, they were trying to turn my friends against me, or trying to turn me against my friends. And it wasn't until after I got out of the relationship that I realized that that was a form of mental abuse, which almost led me to being a little depressive, you know, almost made me go down the little mental health road. It's okay. God, it's okay.
Okay, I got you.
But yeah, and you know, most people are not as always strong-minded as others, which is why I'm telling you to look out for the signs now rather than later, because it's better to be safer than sorry.
You ate that, girl.
Good afternoon. My name is Love. I'm 18 in college.
Good afternoon. My name is Seven. I'm 17 in the 12th grade.
Hello, my name is Alani, and I'm 18 years old in high school.
The role play today talks about two friends having a disagreement. One friend blew off the other friend when they had plans.
I'm annoyed you didn't come through for me when you said you were going to.
I'm sorry, I totally forgot I had something going on.
I understand, but saying sorry doesn't really fix it. I was waiting around for you and felt kind of blown off.
I'll do better next time, for real. I'm really sorry. I will make it up to you.
Okay, I hear you. I'm not trying to drag it. Just need you to actually follow through this time.
Okay, I got it. This won't happen again. I got you.
And we are about to close out. So, this podcast has been about, it's been a great chat to talk about consent, give you ideas on how to, you know, how to give consent. So the whole general idea of consent is to understand what you need and how you want to express it. I hope we gave you that clear understanding. If not, now you know. That's the whole point of consent. And we've showed that in the role play, and it's just to understand exactly what you want. In rape culture, we've also talked about rape culture and how it's normalized in our generation.
Rape culture, a society or environment where dominant social attitudes make sexual assault and abuse seem normal, not a big deal, or justified. And
The problem with rape culture being normalized is that, like, every day-to-day teenagers, especially in school, make rape jokes and joke around, like, hurting others or touching other people. But, it, like, in general, it causes people to not take gender-based violence seriously. And also, it causes expectations to be higher, and people expect more from each other. Like, they expect the other person to know how to do things. They everyone has a expectation of how their partner's body count should be. And just in general, a lot of shows show so much about, oh yeah, your partner's supposed to act this way, or even like show so much about like people getting abused and just getting away with it, which should not be a thing.
You know, it's very tough having to be a person who is able to set boundaries on their body and their ideas. Intimate partner violence is very important. Please be aware of dangers in relationships, and please be aware of any signs, early signs. Don't wait till the signs get worse.
Intimate partner violence, IPV, / domestic violence, DV. A pattern of abusive behaviors used to exert power and control over a current or former romantic, sexual, or intimate partner. Domestic violence is when we see behaviors manifest within a family or at home context between parents, parents and their children, or between family members.
Please be aware of intimate partner violence and tell someone that you trust or find help. Domestic violence is the same thing. Just because they're your parents doesn't mean you can't do anything. You can also find help. We've given you sources. And honestly, I hope you can find it in yourselves to respect yourselves and know what you want, your worth, that you nobody has the authority to step over you, and you should be able to find confidence within yourself and confidence in the fact that you are separated from what the world has put on you. Even though there's expectations of what you need to do relationship-wise, house-wise, like your role in the house, or your role in the school, just do you, boo. Be who you are for your pride. And, you know, be prideful in who you are. If there's one thing that we want you guys to leave with today, it's that consent is not an option. It's an obligation.
Cut, 1, 2, 3.
Okay. Yes, that's it. May you guys enjoy the rest of your day. Bye. Toodaloo. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I'm so sorry. Through for me. What the heck?
Okay.